today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Every champion golfer comes to Augusta imbued with a towering level of testosterone. I believe it was Bobby Jones' father, Colonel Robert Jones, who told his young son, "Make sure when you get your clubs out of the trunk, boy, you also bring your balls." First one I did, and I've told this story multiple times, so I'll tell it again. Baldwin Service Center, WYRE. Can we get Mike to ride around the parking lot on the riding lawnmower? You.
These are dessert wines, and I've also heard the same thing about Grand Marnier. Like, you drink it after you eat.
It's an after-dinner drink.
Okay.
Yeah, or if you're like Mike, during dinner.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Every champion golfer comes to Augusta imbued with a towering level of testosterone. I believe it was Bobby Jones' father, Colonel Robert Jones, who told his young son, "Make sure when you get your clubs out of the trunk, boy, you also bring your balls." Celebrating every legendary name the game has ever produced, Augusta loves balls. The little round ones you hit, and the kind that are required to rise up to golf's greatest test. From the Champions Dinner, where Gary Player was rumored to have dipped his South African little bits into Sam Snead's martini, to the Butler Cabin, where presidents and captains of industry have stripped down to their skivvies and compared their nipples, everyone knows that the Masters is special. Special and exclusive, for this is no mere golf club. This is the seat of privilege, and you have to earn your right to fart into the furniture here. But for the lucky few who slip on the green jacket, the members, the winners, you can do whatever the F you want behind closed doors. Like when Hootie Johnson rode on the back of his loyal assistant Robertson, yelling, "Egg salad for the rebels! Egg salad for the rebels!" Or when Fuzzy Zeller entertained the guys with his Little Fuzzy Puppet Show, culminating in a cascade of urine that sent the members scrambling. Or recently, when Bubba Watson hid three pimento and cheese sandwiches between two pillows and served them to an unsuspecting Phil Mickelson while wearing a white waiter's jacket. Gene Sarazen once said of Augusta National, "It's the letter of the law outside, but inside, you better put band-aids on your nipples and drink a quart of buttermilk." It's probably why President Dwight David Eisenhower once said, "This is Augusta, son. Daddy's gonna hunker down and get messy without mommy."
Oh, Amy.
Yes, the week is finally here. The week that turns men into champions and allows champions to fart in reupholstered furniture. That would be the second fart joke. From Jack to Tiger, from Bubba to the Squire, from Fuzzy to Arnie, from Hootie to Clifford, from Alf to Huggy, from Meemaw to Trigger, from Zit to Beanstalk, from Sugar to Booger, from Boo to Coco, from Click to Melonhead, from Pubes to the Finger. Oh. These are the names that make up the club, that makes the rules that you have to follow or leave. And leave you will. For if a patron so much as belches during a backswing, his ass will be escorted out of the front gate faster than you can say segregation.
Oh.
Because it is here, among the Georgia pines and the blooming azaleas, that golf's greatest test will be tackled. where old men and young men, tall and short, fat and thin, ripped and paunchy, with good teeth and those in need of fluoride, will compete on the rolling fairways. Muscles will strain. Hands will grip clubs. Pits will dampen. Quads will flex. Pectoral muscles will twitch under synthetic fabric. And DJ's prodigious length will once again be on full display. And when the weekend ends, one of them will rise triumphant. One man will stand alone and slip on the coveted green jacket. One man will be able to walk back into the clubhouse, look the security guard in the eye, and say, "Pull my finger, pal, because I am the Masters champion." Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Start the show, Rob Spiewak. That's what I want.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Aren't you Charles Van Dorn?
I'm sorry, Dad, didn't mean to wake you up. Just had to get out of the city.
You're always welcome, Charlie. Sometimes it's hard sleeping in the city.
Hope you don't mind. I took the rest of the cake.
You look like you could use it.
Under a little strain lately.
That's the way it always is when you're finishing a book.
Oh, no, actually, it's the television show.
Oh, Jesus, I just realized. We watched your show. Did I tell you, Mother and I moved the television to the den?
No, you didn't mention it.
Damn it, what was it? Something about the Galapagos Islands, you know what? I'll try some of that.
Yeah, the origin and destination of the voyage of the Beagle.
That's right. Biology for 6 points. Good God, the pressure, all those lights, the money, those strange little booths, that man talking so fast like being in a bull ring. I don't think I could remember my name.
Well, you know, I always had a good head for that kind of stuff.
It's just amazing that you could make it look so easy. But your mother always said you were the actor in the family, Charlie.
What?
As long as it doesn't interfere with your teaching, why not? So, Dick, Charlie invites you to his poker game, yet he's a hell of a poker player.
We have a regular game Thursday nights, just some friends I went to school with. You're welcome to come over next week.
Are you a gambler, Dick?
I don't know if I'm a gambler. I know which end of an ace is up.
Well, Dick, if you look around the table and you can't tell who the sucker is, it's you.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends, is a worldwide podcast and radio show with a family of listeners who are unrivaled. Unrivaled, Jolly, in their love and support for their program. If you're a first-timer, sit back, relax, and enjoy. And for those of you that have been supporting us for the long run, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for spreading the word every day about TMOS. From Perth, Australia, to Maricopa County, Arizona, from Pine City, Minnesota, to Cedar Key, Florida, from Felton, Delaware, to Cochranton, Pennsylvania, the Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by Noom. Sticking to a weight loss plan can be hard, especially with the mental obstacles that prevent progress. With yes. Noom, you'll lose the guilt and learn how to develop a new relationship with food and live a healthier lifestyle. That's what's great about Noom. With Noom, you don't diet. You learn better habits for a new, better you. Noom puts weight loss in the palm of your hand. The Noom app is on your phone whenever and wherever you need it. Noom also gives you a live goal specialist. That's a behavior change professional, nutrition expert, and fitness trainer all in one. My favorite part is that Noom has one of the biggest food databases available. Food tracking made easy. I love it. Noom is designed for results. Lose your old habits by signing up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/TMOS. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/TMOS to start your trial today. Again, that's Noom.com/TMOS. Start losing weight for good at Noom, and we thank you. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. Didn't do it last year. Didn't do the Masters thing last year, so I had to do it this year.
If Charles Van Doren had Noom, he probably wouldn't be eating that chocolate cake.
Charles Van Doren, the actor who played him, no longer with us, unfortunately, I believe. Right?
No. Well, Ray Fiennes is alive, but Van Doren died yesterday. Did you know was alive until yesterday? That's why I played the Open.
Oh, you mean the guy that played his father?
Oh, no, the father's long dead, but I'm talking about actually Charles Van Doren.
Hold on. Let's start again.
Okay.
So the guy, the actor who you played in your clip has passed.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
That's what I was talking about.
Who's on
about.
First?
But what I was referring to is the fact that Charles Van Doren, the subject of the scandal, died yesterday at age 93. I would have bet that he had been dead years ago. Yeah.
Wow.
Who's Charles Van Doren?
He was the guy that brought down the game show industry in the 1950s by agreeing.
Oh, the quiz show?
Yeah, that he took the answers.
Oh, the movie. Mm-hmm.
Quiz show based on the real guy.
I didn't know that really happened.
And that's a scene where the real guy goes to his professor father, and they're both kind of, hello.
Hello, Charlie.
Hello, how are you? And who knows whether he was really like that, because it's a movie, and then you got the other guy from like a bunch of movies who has the fake Boston accent. The most abused
Rob
accent
Morrow.
In motion pictures,
and
where
he
it's just
so
like, hello there, hi, why. And by the way, I get him down here. I got the most pure Boston accent from my buddy Gino, where, you know, is a guy that, you know, it's just like, hey, little boy, with your haircut. Look at that haircut, little boy. You know, another guy got a haircut yesterday. He said, hey, you got a little boy haircut like Mike does. Hey, little boy.
Rob Morrow, who was on Northern Exposure, but that accent is clearly the worst thing in the movie Quiz Show, because Quiz Show is almost a perfect movie, except for that Boston accent, I think.
You like Quiz Show?
I love it. I think it's great.
It's one of your faves?
Mm-hmm. Go-to for me.
And you're saying so that when he goes to see his father, that's a phony accent that you don't... you're talking about the Rob Morrow accent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I don't know how Ray Fiennes talks.
How many people are listening right now after this discussion of the Quiz Show?
I learned a thing
Charles
or two.
Charles Van Doren.
That's pretty impressive.
Learned. You got
the father, Mike, was played by a man named Paul Scofield, who died in 2008.
Oh, okay. All right. So how did you find out? I didn't even read anywhere where
an alert system?
You have a death alert, like for obscure deaths?
Mike, it's a huge black and white monitor in my bedroom. And anytime someone over the age of 90 passes, it
is
lights up.
Is there anybody that loves celebrity death more than Rob Spiewak? I don't think
Well, no, I wouldn't even call this one a celebrity death. I'd call this one a historical death because I didn't know.
I do. You love death.
That's pretty good.
You get excited more than anybody.
I don't like an untimely death.
If you had a job where your job was telling the public, and now here's with our deaths of the day, Rob Spiewak, it would
be
your dream
gig.
He'd be
a great curator of the celebrity.
What's your favorite part of an award show? You like the memorial reel.
Well, I like to call it the death reel because it's
even
less sensitive.
That's the thing. And I like the memorial reel.
How long have you loved death?
You know, I've always had a thing where I had a connection with my mother's mother that when a famous obituary would break, we'd call each other. We'd try to race to see who could get to it first.
And then we had the death pool at the Don and Mike show.
Yes, exactly.
Where we actually had a pool as to the celebrities that would go. And then we had the whole thing where they go in threes.
Yes.
But I don't think Charles Van Doren will count on that particular
one. I don't think he's that big of a celebrity.
We had 2016. Was it 2016?
That was the year.
Everybody died?
Mm-hmm.
It was stunning. It was like on a weekly basis.
Dropping like
that.
Flies, yeah.
Or is it a correction? Like a market correction?
Oh, like a bounce back?
Like a thinning the herd correction.
Is it 2015? No one famous died.
It allows new names to be
highlighted. No one could get a reservation at Elaine's until all those people died. Now it's back to normal.
So that was the heyday, the beginning of game shows. When they were
game
capturing
shows,
the people's imagination. Not so much now as in the past. By the way, some of the crap they put out now for game shows, I wish they'd go back to simpler times as game shows.
They try.
Well, look at the ones that are successful. The two at night that I watch are the most successful in history, and they continue to be because they're simple.
They would make them. They'd make them all day because they're cheap to make. Think about it. Millionaire.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was
nice run.
Great run, and then they burned that to the ground. And then, like, 2 years ago, they did the fake Plinko game.
Yep.
I can't think of the name of it, where they had the huge Plinko. The Wall.
I watched that, and I said, oh, Chris Hardwick.
And doesn't Rob Lowe have a new game show where you have to answer answer questions in a spinning device of some sort.
Ooh,
I'd have to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
So that was
Deal or No Deals back on CNBC. I watched that.
Yeah, now see, that was a pretty decent
steal
game
as,
show.
Still as fun, Steel.
Yeah, but
still
as fun.
But so stupid.
But don't put it on CNBC. Stupid. You have to go find it. What?
I had one of the DJs at WHFS was dating one of the Deal.
Was it Weasel?
No.
All right.
Weasel was dating the briefcase.
Or had
Mike.
Dated one of the Deal or No Deal girls, and I remember being 29 when that was popular, and remembering that he, or not even 29, 25, 26, remembering that he had dated her. Like, she had long left the DC area and moved to the West Coast,
sure,
and become somewhat famous. And I was like, I can't believe that blank dated her, because you'd see her every. It was a prime time show, right?
Right, it was a big deal.
Prime time, big deal.
Now I sat next to a Deal or No Deal girl who was either a fiance,
is it a model,
girlfriend, or
is
a wife.
We call them?
It was a model, and she was dating Clay Buchholz. I sat next to her at a spring. I think it's Clay Buchholz or Bronson Arroyo. Either one of those two. I know she was dating a player, and then we went back and watched one. Deal or No Deal. There she is. She's Hall of Fame case number 20.
Where does a Deal or No Deal spokeswoman rank in the celebrity world compared to a Maxim model?
Well, no. I mean,
ahead, right?
Ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
But when you talk about the ultimate spokesmodel, it's Vanna.
Yes.
I mean, Vanna, who is 130 years old and still is on that show.
Oh, my God.
And still, by the way, still will throw on every now and then the right dress where you go, hey, that's Vanna. Because I'm old enough to remember Vanna when Vanna was doing the magazine spreads.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Vanna was
the
Vanna
thing.
Was the it girl for years.
Yeah.
And now, but the thing about Wheel of Fortune is... I'm watching Pat. I think he may be having senior moments like I do on this show.
Well, that hair is a senior moment.
That
hair is
a senior moment.
It's really bad now.
But my wife, I have to give her a little bit of credit, I believe has an ability for Wheel of Fortune. And we have discussed on multiple occasions that she should go on that show. But if she went on that show, to support her, I'd have to be in the audience. But then when they introduced me, I said, you're going to have to introduce me as your father. This is who's with you tonight? You know, she got to the bonus round. So
yeah.
Who's with you tonight? Oh, that's my dad. And I'd be over there. And I would look
in
at the camera.
In that front
and
corner
go,
seat you always get?
I would go in the corner and I'd go.
You can make it on the show. Have you researched? I've actually researched this.
You have.
I'm not going on this show.
In the last eight, well, it's probably changed the last 10 years. Jeez, time flies. I'm getting old.
He's getting
when
old.
When I looked at, because I was dating someone at the time that wanted to go on, so I don't just talk about it. I look into it. I'm like, oh, well, if you had
you
to, what would
you, what
you would,
do?
What would you have to do? And it really isn't that hard of a process. Like, you have to send
in. Yeah, they
in,
don't have, they have mental midgets on that show.
Oh, yeah.
The
well,
yeah.
They count on it.
So let's do the math. Yeah. That Carla's probably really good at this game, right?
And yeah, what are her strengths? You watch her watch it every night.
She gets the puzzle early. That's her strength. That's what is. There's only one strength.
Yeah,
well,
no,
you're
missing,
Wheel of Fortune.
You're missing out on another. You're missing out
on pressure.
But you're missing out on another strength.
What, ability to spin?
No, she's amazingly telegenic. They're gonna like that.
Will they care about that? Do you think?
Oh, yes.
Oh God, you're not gonna put someone like me up there.
I had a.
He's going down.
A classmate in my undergrad that would. All he did for 10 years after graduating, because I thought this guy was going to end up at ESPN as a anchor of some sort. He was a real big sports guy.
Right.
No, but he moved to Los Angeles, and all he did was he went on game show to game show to game show. And I remember catching up with him on Facebook. I'm like, is all you do going, like, I'm happy. I see you on Deal or No Deal. I see you on The Price is Right. I see you on all these other shows.
So did he figure out a way to, like, game the system?
No, they tell you, like, there are actually blogs about this now, that when you go for The Price is Right, for example, when you're in line there, you have to, like, wear something that screams personality like, be over the top, because they'll find contestants before you even walk in, because they'll screen you in line to say, okay, this is the person we're gonna
have this person come down.
This is pre-selected.
Yep.
They're not gonna bring duds up there.
What about Wheel of Fortune? What about
so
that
Wheel of
one?
Fortune, what I found years ago, and this might have changed by now, and I imagine it has, because I mean, it's so much easier to interact. At that point, it was a submission where you would submit in to actually be part of this, or they would have,
like, you have to be submissive to Pat.
They would actually have a traveling like not Vanna.
Audition. They go audition, to hotels.
Audition
right?
hotels. Yes, to hotels, and you have to get to one of those.
A
and then,
cramped hotel
and
room.
You essentially play your way in, like a casting. You play your way in if you can actually
that's
compete.
Tough. That's all right. So, I'm sure. I'll check. I know Jeopardy does that.
How do you feel that Carla would be? Because it's different when you're up there.
It is.
Yes, it's different pressure.
How
like Carla doesn't respond to pressure that much. I mean, she doesn't really. If she likes something and she's good at it, she's not fazed by it.
Okay,
she just doesn't get. She doesn't get fazed by that type
what
of
I
thing.
What I suggest you know, is having a mock.
When it comes to calling like you know a neighbor or something and canceling dinner, you know we fight like cats. And
I don't want to. Come on, do it.
But she'll be good
I'd like
in front
to make
of a
her
crowd.
My social secretary. What?
She'll be good in front of a crowd.
I think she could handle it. I think, but also the who knows what the pressure is going to be. You know, she's not like her husband that deals with this incredible pressure every day. Thank you very much. Thank you. Writing that Augusta copy. That is a cooker.
But sadly,
that
Mark.
Is a cooker. Started at 6:30 this morning. Thank you very much. Yes.
Functioning illiterate, so you cannot play Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah. And also, I can't play Jeopardy. Carla thinks I'm good at Jeopardy. I said, I'm not even, you know, Jeopardy is a totally different league. Those people that go on Jeopardy, I'm watching that guy now who Carla thinks is a serial killer that's on Jeopardy, and I'm watching this guy at night. And the depth of knowledge is, I don't have that. And when they, you know, anything when they'd say literature.
Goodbye.
Know, 19th century literature. I'm done.
Yeah.
Forget it. Thank you. Hey, movies. Well, duh.
It is contingent on two things. And I've read stuff about the really successful Jeopardy contestants. The one skill that people don't give enough credit to is you have to be dexterous clicking in. You have to be really good at clicking
on Jeopardy.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know whether the dexterity is that much
it's
of a factor.
It's your thumb. I think dexterity is that.
You have to be. It's timing and precision. Though. And you have to.
But
you
I'm
have
tired to, of seeing the people going click, click, click and making it and putting it up near their face. And
those are the people that aren't good at it. You watch someone like Ken Jennings. He would be like one and he's in. He had a timing and a rhythm. But the other thing about Jeopardy is it is really, you have to get lucky on your categories. Like, let's say you had a good run through the game and your final Jeopardy is 19th century literature. Well, good night. You're done. Because that's one category that's going to determine the rest of the game.
Don't we have enough? Right. First off, if you're out there and you actually have possibly been on Wheel of Fortune, you just have never written in and told us, please let us know what the process is now. Okay. Like, what is the updated
for
process
for Wheel of Fortune? Because Carla's not going
to
go on.
Because we'd like to get that context and not do the work.
Right.
And then two, I want Lena Gilmore to reach out to us and tell us what it was like to be on.
It's academic.
But also.
Well, that doesn't count. You're with a bunch of other high school kids, and Scott was, and Lena was. I'm sure there when Mac was hosting, right?
Yes.
That's young, when Lena Mac. Was there. Yeah, yeah.
But this is
maybe that's not. You didn't have to be meaner than me.
I was only kidding,
you know?
Of course. Well, I'm sure he had his toupee.
We wouldn't have to.
That's Rob that said that, Lena.
We wouldn't have to ask Lena what it was like to buzz in on that set because.
But
she was a cheerleader.
You know, it's Channel 4. They got probably plywood and fake buzzers or something like that.
And actually, the thing that Oscar is alluding to is that one time we were at Jimmy's and Lena was there, and she said quite proudly, "Oh yes, I was on It's Academic." And we pressed her on it, and she says, as a cheerleader.
Oh, she wasn't really there. Uh-oh. Okay.
And that's the end of the round.
Okay.
And she will not let that go. We talked about it on air, but it was one of those things like, I've been to Augusta. I played eight. Like, it's like somebody willy-nilly said, I have played Augusta, right?
Right.
And then they we find out that they had been to Augusta, not on championship weekend. They had been there to visit, and they had some sort of Budweiser punt, pass, and kick.
Right.
And they, chipped a few putts
and
then walked away.
A classic example is when back when you were in your DJ wars with Jack Diamond, and he announced that he was opening for the Moody Blues.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
I was at the concert,
and
it was
one of the all-time great. That was one of the all-time great exposures in radio history where we found out.
I don't know anything about
because
this.
I was at the concert.
Okay, let me tell the story.
Yeah, please.
So Jack gets on. We find out Jack gets on and talks about he opened for the Moody Blues with his band.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, oh, my God. That's
massive.
Well, you know what it was? He was out in the parking lot.
By the beer
out in the
truck.
Concession area.
Yeah.
And if you've ever gone to, and this was Nissan, right? Nissan Pavilion?
It was either Nissan or Meriwether. I was at
but
the show and saw him, but I don't remember
where,
the venue.
You were at the show and saw him? So he's out. I know where they set them up. Out on the concession area.
Yeah, like a 25
outside,
by 12
like 2 hours before
platform?
The concert starts.
Right. So technically he did play before them.
He didn't
we're
open
opening
for
them.
The
movie
no,
Blues.
He did.
No, it's not the same. You're not on the stage. You're a side. slide act.
And you talked about this on air?
Oh, yeah. My God, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, back in the day. Way back in the day. And then Jack turned out to be a good guy.
He did.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Jack was the one that let me know I was getting fired at the edge. Okay. Because he showed me the... Oops. I hope the statute of limitations is over on that.
He's got
thanks,
his own,
Jack.
He's got his own issues to deal with.
Yeah, he's got his own issues to deal with now. But, I mean, show, by the way, radio stations, when they try not to tell the talent that they're going to be eliminated Axt. Because they're changing a format, they do it so ham-handedly.
Oh.
You know, sending copies or making copies of the new liners
and leaving the copy.
The new WMAL-FM. You know, it's like, oh, that's interesting.
Well, you can say a lot of things about radio people, Mike. Some are good and some are bad. But one thing remains consistent is that radio people are great at keeping secrets.
There is a delightful, delightful combination in the world of radio between stupidity and cowardice.
Yep.
That is, if you've got stupid cowards, by the way, the world is full of them right now.
Yep.
You see them every day in our nation's capital. Stupidity and cowardice combined to make it. And by the way, stupid cowards. Usually don't, you have to be a smart coward to survive in radio. If you're a dumb coward, you're usually not, because it's going to eventually come around to you, unless you're a certain guy. But anyway, it's that's the way it works. Yeah. I mean, if I did it, I'd surround myself with my friends too.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the way it goes. Sorry, Oscar. I know you got connections over there. I just have to. No, that's not nice.
It's
that's
fine.
Not nice at all. Jealousy. No, I'm glad I'm not there.
Why would you? Okay? You would be miserable. You'd
you
have
would.
To do 4 hours a day.
I'd be miserable,
doing something that you are not passionate about.
I'd probably
think of your
be retired.
Your 16-hour commute.
Yeah, I would. It would. But the whole thing with I've worked at other radio stations where there was it just you had these tough guys and then you read about them getting blown out later because they were. They were a victim. It's just the world. I like the idea. I'll never forget. I think the movie came out a relatively short period of time after I got laid off at WJFK and then The Edge, where they had Up in the Air. And I remember looking over at my wife and saying, oh, my God, they actually bring people in to tell people they don't have their jobs.
To soften it. Yeah.
Where in radio, you have to kind of, it's
find
the worst.
Out, you skulk around.
Mm-hmm. It's the word. Broadcasting
Can
in general is like that.
Can you imagine living in that world still?
Oh, God. No. I mean, I wouldn't. It's it's terrible. It's a terrible way to do it. But that's the way it is because we have microphones and all that other stuff.
Well,
but,
and look, what ends up happening, it happens to a lot of people even listening right now. If you hate your job right now, and we are not all blessed to love what we do, or lucky enough, I would say that if you just even looking back at what we all went through and Mike and Rob to a larger extent, like it's not the end of the world if it's not like perfect, especially in broadcasting. But in broadcasting, while there is a level of, I would say, expertise and pride you have to put in because you're performing. But I remember beating myself up if like a promotion didn't go perfect or if something wasn't
a lot of people
gangbusters,
like that.
It was just nuts. And when you're
20 people show up at an appearance, it's like, oh my
you
God,
have no, you have no
popular.
Control
end
over
of the world. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the
I'm
next one, there are 400 people.
Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. Like, well, how do you think I felt working at The Edge? When they'd send me on a Saturday out to a cricket store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A cricket store in Hyattsville. That's going to work out well. Yeah. There are a lot of people. That's the classic rock around
by?
That cricket store.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my God. That was the, That was how we did one in Manassas at a cricket store.
Yeah.
Well, at least that was closer.
I remember I said something like,
like
10.
Back,
I said, if five people show up, I'll take everybody next door to the 7-Eleven and buy them stuff. And
hot
I did.
Dogs.
Yeah. It was miserable. Hey, misery. No one
I can't,
likes me.
Can't tell you the amount of times that even clients would look disappointed if I showed up for an appearance. And the classic one of all time, it was with, I think it was a piano store in Sterling. And it was, I won't give her full name, but Libby organized this one. And she said,
Libby Hughley.
She said, they're expecting a phone in from the appearance. So what I need you to do is pretend to call the radio station in front of the owner.
Hold on. Let me get Libby's sound.
Okay. That's about right. So, yeah, I had to actually pretend to call into a show
tough
and pretend
business,
I was
man.
On the air just because. Oh, yeah, it was promised to him. Thank
First
you.
First one I did, and I've told this story multiple times. So I'll tell it again. Baldwin Service Center, WYRE. Can we get Mike to ride around the parking lot on the riding lawnmower? F*** you. Sorry, that was. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget. I knew what kind of racket I was in right out there. Train, and Oscar said it later on when we were talking about auctions, where you're the trained monkey.
Yeah,
you're the trained
monkey. You're a monkey.
Get the guy to I'm paying it. Get him to ride.
That guy's got personality.
Get him to ride. That'll be funny. Get him to pin his finger in his nose and ride around on the riding lawnmower next to our mascot. Oh, I wanted to kill the
mascot.
But, low man on the totem pole.
Sure.
And the very first one I did from the studio was with Jack Diamond.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I was in the studio, and I'm sitting there going, okay, let's go. And he's the boss at this time. He's my boss. He's the program director. I said, hey. We're going to go down. And where was Jack? Jack was at the Mercedes dealership. Shocker. And so I think Bennett Mercedes or something like that. I said, let's go down to Jack Diamond, who's down there. Jack, we're here. And then I hear... I was hitting the wrong button, like a rube. Shocker. I was a crappy board op. And I'm going, hitting the wrong button. And then finally I hit the right button. He goes, been here the whole time.
Oh, God.
Like immediate throw under the bus. Yeah, been here the whole time, you incredible idiot. Yeah, yes, sir.
A lot of great deals for Mercedes enthusiasts.
Yes, thanks a lot. Yeah, hey. get you up nice S class. Yeah, maybe. Anyway, it was open for the
Moody radio. Blues.
Yeah. So Carla's going on Wheel of Fortune.
Excellent.
I'll let you know.
Yes.
Time and
fast
time
track
and place.
This, please.
And check your local listings. Thank you very much. We have to take a break, and we'll come back with more fun and more thrills. We have one of my all-time favorite songs as Rob's playing this right
good.
Here. How you doing, everybody? 81 WYRE. Your AccuWeather and Tide timetable are brought to you by your official Chesapeake Bay Yacht Club's association station. Temperatures in the Bay Area today will be about 78 degrees. Good day to get outside down to Sandy Beach State Park and enjoy yourself. Yes, sir. You listen to the... Is this the Spinners? Can't get
no rest. You not only got the artist, but you still nailed it.
Thank you very much. Very good. We'll take a break. Come right back. When will I
learn? Alexa, who are the interns on the Mike O'Mara Show?
I don't understand what you mean by interns.
You know, the people behind the scenes.
I don't know what you mean.
Come on, the ones who write all the promos, the people who do all the real work.
Did you mean to search for Matt Ponyboy Bloom?
What? No, he's not an intern.
Now searching for Ponyboy Bloom on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Alexa, cancel. Search people who work hard on TMOS.
Now searching for Maddie Masiello.
No!
Remember, I can play the Mike O'Mara Show for you, today and every day. All you need to do is ask Alexa.
That's awesome.
Love my interns, man. They're good
Who's
writers.
Who's doing that? Who put that together?
That was Allison.
You have to give the anecdote of what happened, please.
Well, let me give the commercial.
Stories about the interns. Welcome back to the
Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Hims. 2/3 of men lose their hair by 35, and by the time you notice, it's too late, baby, now it's too late. Hey, pal, you better act fast. It's time to get a handle on those precious locks. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. 4hims.com connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Real prescriptions backed by science. No nonsense. Just answer a few questions. The doctor reviews it, and the products are shipped directly to your door. It's that easy. I hate doctor's offices, so I love 4hims.com. Actually, I don't mind them if they're nicely decorated. No, I'm kidding.
New magazines?
Order now. TMOS listeners can get started with the Hims Complete Hair Care Kit for just $5 today while supplies last and subject to doctor's approval. Restrictions apply. See the website for full details. This could cost you hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/TMOS. That's FORHIMS.com/TMOS. Look your best. 4hims.com/TMOS. That was a cool promo with a lot of Alexa and all that. And I shouldn't say that when people are listening to the radio. But what's the deal? The interns are churning them out.
So our Wednesday intern staff is Johnny and Allison. Are Johnny and Allison. And they come in and they've come up with two really good ideas for series. And Dahlia's in on this too. One is the Real Interns of Podcast Village, which is their fake reality show that doesn't exist. But when we told them we needed to promote the Alexa.
This is on demand yesterday.
They said, okay. what if we wrote promos where we interacted with Alexa? So we sat down and figured out how to do the voice to text or text to voice.
And this took some time. It was not a like turnkey solution. I just saw them working. And I walked up an hour after the show and they're still working in here, like writing. And Rob is working with them the entire time.
They're enjoying the fun of doing that.
And then Rob grabs me between another production and he says, come check this out. And I was like, okay, what are they going to pitch?
Yeah.
And Allison, who's musically inclined. And
you know that she sang on Instagram for us last week, right?
Right, and wonderful.
Look, if you have a daughter or son that already does this, God bless you. I've never seen this in my life. So she's playing a tune that I'm like, oh, what track is that?
Yeah, I told her, I said, I played them the theme because it predates them. I said, what we need for this is something that is sort of computery. And I played them the theme to Doogie Howser.
Yes.
And she immediately clicked onto that. And about a minute later, she's playing me something that sounds like Doogie Howser, but it isn't.
So
that,
what? What is she
playing? Like on her computer. Yeah.
On her laptop.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then Rob said, listen to this. And she's playing it like she was playing on a piano.
I thought she had found a production track. She wrote and recorded a song.
And she put the keyboard
She composed it while they were writing the spot.
So listen again to this music in here.
Alexa, who are the interns on the Mike O'Mara show?
I don't understand.
She wrote and recorded that while I was sitting and watching her.
People behind the scenes.
I don't know what you mean.
Come on, the ones who write all the promos, the people who do all the real work.
Did you mean to search for Matt Pony Boy Bloom?
What?
But it's just, it blew my mind.
I don't believe we have had a piece of production music that has been written and created by someone working with us on any level, anywhere.
To see how
amazing.
And
amazing.
She's going,
so cool.
I mean, I go around and I watch, and it looks like a piano keyboard on her screen, but she's playing her keys on the laptop. She goes, no, not that. No, not
now,
that.
Now, does she play the regular piano?
I think she said 8 or 9 years of training. So she's very, very good. Yeah.
But that's awesome. But you could see her. And the only comparison I have to it is when you and Rob are working out a bit and you're going back and forth of like, okay, no, we'll do this, we'll do this, we'll do this. And that's really just for promos because most of the time it's stream of consciousness of how we work with each other. But to see someone work within our realm and then see her process, and I just got maybe 5 minutes of it. But I imagine for Rob and to some extent, Johnny, it was just nice to see and to have that asset.
Well,
let me
ask you this.
In both of them, really.
Because she's got, obviously, that's not piano music. That is a keyboard. But I would welcome with that app for her to create regular staging music for the Mike O'Mara show.
Why not?
Tell her to knock herself out.
Yeah.
Tell her to absolutely, of course, make sure she signs the release. That we keep it forever in perpetuity. That's it. But, at the same time.
Well, I told her when we finished up yesterday, and she skipped a class, actually, because we were having so much fun and getting so much done. And I said, this is really great, but I'm afraid I have to tell you, you're never allowed to stop being an intern now.
For sure.
That's really great. And hats off to all the smart kids we had. We knew we had a good crop. That's why we're not we're not beating them up on the air as much because they're bringing so much to the
Don't go crazy. You didn't spend the night in a museum with Johnny.
True. Johnny may have.
Yeah, so you had a meeting with Johnny yesterday.
Yeah,
you were
Johnny.
I call him Smart Mouth Johnny because he's a Weisenheimer. And
Johnny,
he came in here. Johnny the Lip.
This
Johnny the Lip.
So this proactive nature, as far as interns are concerned, and look, this is also a testament to our current, human condition where there are young people that get it. They get it more so than I ever got it when I was younger.
So you're saying like over the years where you have worked with interns,
yes,
this crop, these people coming up now seem to be more on the ball.
On the ball.
Yeah.
And okay. I include Ethan in that process where I don't even question the age or the maturity for some of these. I was like, I don't remember being that mature when I was 21 years old or 19.
How does it compare with people you work with that don't even know where the ball is?
I think Mike, we are symptoms of our own
we're
generation.
Victims.
We are victims of our own generation. So we are victims of each of our generations.
Well, we all have symptoms.
And I think unfairly to us and what would say a fascinating trend is that I think the access to information has really allowed these kids to grow up faster and understand the way that business works.
Yeah, I think that's valid.
So to them, kudos, but you also have to seek it out and find it. So Johnny comes to me and we have a meeting in the office and he says,
there's some wild stuff I'd really like to have.
And I don't know.
What does he say?
I don't know where Johnny's from. I don't know where he's from. He's not from the D.C. area.
He's from New Jersey. He's from Freehold,
okay,
New Jersey.
Yes, thank you. And Freehold. He says,
that's Springsteen's hometown.
I was talking to my mother last night and I told her that I was going to come and ask you if I could continue interning for the Mike O'Mara show, but also possibly pitch to work for Podcast Village part time so I can continue to stay here in the summer. So I don't have to go home and I can stay here in the summer. So it was like a proactive, hey, I want to stay and work
like
with you guys.
That initiative's fantastic.
And then he said, he looks at me and goes, I love everything you guys do on TMOS, but I also want to learn what it's like to start a business. Do you mind if I ask you a few questions while I'm here this summer?
Like that, and so you were engaged.
I was like, of course. You know, you come
wonderful.
In and say, hey, I love the creative side and I want to learn how you start a business. Like all day.
Yeah,
there's nothing
wonderful.
To hide here.
He and did you tell him that the primary way you run a business is to make sure you get free labor from interns?
That's right. No, I said the hardest part about, I can't tell you everything right now, is finding good people and finding people you can trust.
Well, also, we are so blessed with what we do.
Yeah.
Is that the creative content, which really we should generate in-house, we get from so many different sources.
Yeah.
Because, you know, let's be honest with you. I mean, with the Jim Amatos, and without the Jim Amatos, the Paulies and stuff like that, we'd be up S Creek, you know, because we would, right? I mean, we used to generate it ourselves.
It's bar none. We are.
I love it, and we can't afford to have that kind of production house.
But we are a collective as far as the show is concerned.
Absolutely, it's a collective. We all do our own stuff, but when promos started coming from outside and we started encouraging
everyone's game,
it's exciting and it's fun.
Oh yeah, everyone's game was up.
We if you go back and listen to early shows, we didn't even have recorded promos.
Yeah,
no,
but let's look, the promos, they're really A grade materials coming in, especially
fantastic
from our listeners and our interns.
Listeners.
But if we're going to focus just on interns and Johnny's conversation, it was probably one of the most proactive. I don't know what I want to do for a living yet, but I know what's happening here is special and I want to stick around.
And you admire that a guy has the plan and the plan is the key.
Or the balls to say, I'm not 100% sure, but what's happening here is effing awesome and I'd like to stick around.
And it was shocking to me because Johnny has a lot of positive aspects to his being, but making a great first impression is not one of them. And he really turned it around.
I'll say.
Because he came in with his hemorrhoid donut.
So disheveled.
And really disheveled. Like, I
gave me crap right out of the bat. I stammered. Listen, he's making me stammer. He's a young person who makes me uncomfortable.
I really didn't think he was going to make it through his interview without his pants falling down. They were so low on his ass.
Also, fairness, Maddie was this person as well, but Maddie was like, I'm going to a semester abroad. I'll come back next semester. But
she was super quiet, too.
She was just did her work and then went on her way.
Mm-hmm.
And then
did you explain to her it's almost like a virus? It's like catching a virus that will never be cured.
Exactly.
She's got it, I believe. She has it.
So she has this show business quality.
Yes.
Yes.
And even it's these small and look, I just have to share this, Mike, because this is going to give you the dark side of this as well.
Oh, good.
So okay. There's a multi-$1,000 espresso machine that's here, right?
Right.
And we lease it. We don't own it, but we all take care of it because we don't have a barista that runs that machine.
Starbucks is gone downstairs.
It's gone. My coffee place. Gone.
So when Maddie's here, I walk in every morning. That machine is rebooted. There's a little process. The computer tells you how to do everything.
Beyond that, not to jump onto your story, there is a whiteboard, a 12-by-8-inch white whiteboard that is on a stand by the coffee machine.
That has the schedule on it.
That says milk nozzle rinsed, 8:30. Water replaced, 8:30. Dishwasher clean. It's like an update.
It says the day. And we're recording this show on Thursday.
Right.
Right.
I walk by the board. I see all the red buttons. And then I see,
alert.
It says, everything says Wednesday. And I realized, I was like, this is when you know who's doing what work, when the person's gone on vacation. Because Maddie's on vacation. Ethan's on the cams today. And Matt's on the board, right?
Right.
And I'm like, I shouldn't be upset about this. Like, there's three other guys here that could have just looked at that and pressed a few
buttons.
Who
is responsible for the multi-$1,000 espresso machine?
Well, here's the thing. In the past, I don't know, Mike, if the mics will pick this up, but there is a bus coming down the road right about now, because allow me to say this. In the past, I have seen those buttons. I have rinsed the milk nozzle.
It just tells you what to do.
It walks you through
it. Who is responsible for cleaning the espresso machine?
This is how I set it up. So I'm stewing here, Mike. I'm stewing.
Simmering.
But I don't want to make a big deal, and I'm not showing it to anybody. I'm like, just calm down.
Who is the slacking F that was responsible cleaning and maintaining the espresso machine?
Stay with Oscar, because this story has a wonderful denouement.
Oh, hi, Peach. How are you? Thank you.
Hey, buddy.
Wonderful coffee. Look, oh, timing's everything.
There
timing's
it is. Everything. There it is.
Timing's
everything.
Hi.
Hi, Sharon.
So I look around, and I'm like, oh. And I say, hey, Pony, do you like coffee? Because I finally have to say something to somebody. And he's like, yeah. And he picks up this cartoon-sized thermos.
And it's so great because he doesn't even really make eye contact. He's in the control room. Says, so Oscar says, Pony, do you like coffee? We hear,
yeah, coffee. Yeah, I like coffee.
And then he picks up a thermos. He's like, I filled up this thermos today. Cartoon size.
Right,
like he's going to the job. He's building the Sears Tower. And I was like, a thermos? Oh, I was like, oh, you brought that from home. And in my head, I'm like, oh, of course he brought coffee from home. He didn't see the espresso machine. I can't even say the word. And he goes, I said, did you bring that from home? He goes, no, I went over to the machine and I filled it up.
Made it myself.
The person who was responsible for cleaning it was Mr. Bloom.
Yes,
he
and
saw
you see
all the
lights. It looks like Christmas.
The red lights, caution alert. And I said, hey, man, when you're up there filling that thermos with how many pods of coffee, who knows how much he costs us every day if he's taking it
How many
all
pods
home.
Did you put in your thermos, Pony?
It's just one pod of coffee. It's like half a cup.
Oh, sorry.
Oh,
I'm sure it's a big thermos, Mike. Yes.
And how come
it's just the size of a water bottle.
It still
how
makes
come you
it
didn't
dirty.
Tend to the machine?
I don't know how to clean that monstrosity, the milk nozzle and all these other things. Oh, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to finish fixing our stream server and getting us up and running.
Okay, okay. Well, wait a second. Don't be mad at us. So I say to Pony, instead of telling me I don't know, let's say, hey, man, you're right. Do you mind showing me how to use this? And I said, that would have been a better answer.
But you know what the best answer is? Is when you see it and it says hit button to clean milk nozzle.
That's what Rob jumps in.
And I said, I've done it. There's nothing to it. There is a diagram on a small LED screen. Then you take it out and you rinse it and you put it back. If you have ever put a straw in a milkshake, you have all of the technical expertise required to clean the milk nozzle.
Pony, what do you say?
I've broken enough stuff in my lifetime to know that it's not as easy as just looking at a little diagram that's on a screen.
But ask for help.
Counterpoint, Rob?
Don't be stupid. This is built for disc jockeys.
Sure.
So, full circle.
Yes.
Full circle.
There's an ending?
Those who come and knock on your door and say, hey, man, I want to be part of whatever's happening here, and I see something great's happening. And then there's another guy who, as long as he takes care of himself,
that's right.
Yes,
he's A-okay.
There it is.
And you know what? The capper, the button on the self-sufficient take care of me first story is this. I said, if you don't clean that milk nozzle, you're going to get spoiled milk. You're going to be sick. He says, nah, I take my coffee black. Oh, okay.
That's
fine.
You know what I think that machine is? You know what I think that machine is?
What?
The espresso machine out in your lobby out there?
What?
That is the Tokyo airport. That's exactly what it is. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's what it is. Okay? Initiative. Bagel. Zed. Zero.
Just ask us. We will teach you. We will teach you.
It's a teachable moment.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. From the CYA studio. Anyway, we will take a break and come back with more fun and more. Well, I'm glad to hear that story and not be involved in it for once. Thank you. We'll take a break, come back with more fun on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Coming up on the best of Tech 411. Hosts Todd Moore and Oscar Santana discuss new developments in fax machine technology. Color from a dot matrix printer? You betcha. And Mike McIntosh review a new website called MySpace. The one who's going to be in his top 8. Subscribe now to the best of Tech 411. A show to keep you up to date with yesterday's tech trends. Buy a Palm Pilot.
Palm Pilot.
Yes.
Palm Pilot. Oh, that's a good callback. I like that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Joybird. Joybird, online furniture shopping that lets you create and space. You can create the space and furniture that bring you joy. Rob Spiewak spent a lifetime in the furniture business with his family, and you've never seen anything quite like Joybird, Mr. Spiewak.
Even though we bent over backwards to give the best customer service when we had our furniture store that belonged to my family, what we couldn't do is afford the space, the literal space, to display every option with every fabric and every style. Right. You can't do that in a brick and mortar. You can build anything to the exact specifications with a few clicks of the mouse. Cool. Everything I see about this furniture, I love it, and I love furniture. Mm. That's it.
One-of-a-kind furniture at Joybird that you can make to your unique tastes. Each Joybird piece is made by hand with care and precision, using high-quality hardwoods and responsibly sourced materials to fit your specifications. And every piece comes with a limited lifetime warranty. Listen what they're going to do. Tell me this company doesn't have confidence in their product. A 365-day home trial. You sit on it, you sleep on it, you break
crazy.
It, and you do
it's
everything.
So
plus, hassle-free in-home delivery. See how Joybird is revolutionizing online furniture shopping. Create the furniture that brings you joy at joybird.com/TMOS. Go to joybird.com/TMOS and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by using our code TMOS, and we thank you. Let me see. I got so many things I could talk to you about.
Can I ask you a question? Because
I've been
stewing on it. What brought you to have a Manhattan? You're not a bourbon guy.
Well, I was looking at that, and I thought we'd talk cocktails here. What is the one you make? Is it an old-fashioned?
Old-fashioned, but that is, I would say they're cousins. But
what is in a Manhattan?
A Manhattan is essentially.
I drank it with the 82-year-old guy that I played golf with that I loved more than anything.
My favorite description of a Manhattan, it's a brown martini. Because your base liquor, instead of being vodka or gin, is a darker liquor. It's usually bourbon, can be rye. And then you use sweet vermouth instead of dry vermouth. And you use a cherry instead of an olive. And it can be served up or on
What's
ice.
What's the Canadian something? Canadian Club.
Or Canadian Hunter, if you're perhaps in college. Canadian Hunter comes in a plastic bottle.
What? Canadian Club, is that a bourbon?
Canadian Club is whiskey, I think.
It's a type of whiskey, right?
It makes a fine.
That's what I have.
It makes a fine
CC.
Manhattan.
The gangsters used to call it CC, right?
It makes a fine Manhattan. My favorite Manhattan is made with Crown. I think Crown has got a really good flavor for it.
And you put vermouth in it?
Sweet vermouth. It's a darker vermouth.
That's it?
That's it. And also, I mean, to be appropriate, you should do a couple shots of bitters. And appropriately made, it is stirred, not shaken, because it is a pure liquor drink. And you shake drinks that are that have
He's
mixers
a mixologist,
in them.
Isn't he?
This
he
is
knows
fascinating.
That. He knows
That's why
yeah.
it's sort of off the charts.
But the old-fashioned is much sweeter, correct?
It is, because it has sugar as an ingredient. You'll actually, a proper old-fashioned, not the way I make it, but if you got a classic one.
How do you make it? Because you make a good one.
I make a very good one.
Agave?
No, I use the equivalent of
maple syrup?
High fructose corn syrup, rice,
okay.
Barley, no.
Molasses.
One or two sugar cubes or a scant teaspoon of sugar.
Oh, God.
And then you muddle that with bitters. I use more than most people, probably 8 or 10 dashes.
Let me read your recipe.
Okay,
I
please.
Got it right here.
Yeah.
All right. Rob Spiewak's Manhattan. All right.
Old fashioned.
One shot of Crown Royal.
That's exactly right.
One shot of Crown Royal, a tablespoon of honey. Tablespoon of maple syrup, tablespoon of molasses,
yes.
Half a cup of agave syrup. Make your own simple syrup and put in 1/4 cup simple syrup, 2 sugar cubes, and a packet of Equal.
That's right. Don't forget the garnish, Mike. Pat of butter.
Pat of butter and 14 cherries.
That's
shake and serve warm. Rob Spiewak's old fashioned.
That's what I picture.
It's
Are
not
your,
like
that. Is
not
your
like
old fashioned really a dessert? Drink?
No, because if you think about it, if you know, a cup of coffee will have a teaspoon of sugar in it as well. But what you're using is the sugar, you're using it to make sort of a syrup with the bitters, because the complex flavor of the bitters, and you can use many different kinds. Angostura is the kind I like, and that is what offsets the flavor of the booze a little bit. So you make sort of it's almost like you're making a soda, because you do the bitters and some sugar and you muddle that around, and then you add a little club soda or water, and you've got like a syrup, like maybe a tablespoon of it that you can balance against a shot and a half of Crown, and then you shake that, serve it over ice with an orange and cherry garnish.
A proper
old fashioned, you actually crush the cherry in with the sugar. I don't like that.
I'm going to share a quick anecdote, and I'm going to ask you if I'm probably a rube, so I'll ask. So I would say a month ago, I don't think we ever talked about this on air. I was at dinner with a client, and then they happened to see a friend where they said, let's go sit at their table.
Friend good, Mike.
This friend happens to be like a well-known businessman, a billionaire, just in general.
Okay.
And we're sitting at his table, and I'm like, oh, don't mess this up, don't mess this up.
Did you get turgid?
No. No, I was. Okay. I actually get. I get intimidated. I get. Okay. I just. All right. I actually shut down because I don't.
Until the hand landed.
You never
want to
be. You never want to be the guy that messes up the dinner. So I, you know, I play my position.
Back to my house, Oscar. We're going to show you some of my painting collection.
I play. Right.
Have you ever
position.
Had chocolate cake after dark, Oscar?
Okay, let's not both interrupt him. That's what people
position.
Hate, Rob. When we both interrupt them right after each other, that's when they get mad at.
And then. There's dessert wines that are coming out. So we're having dessert wine. And I've had dessert wine at my parents' house.
Right.
But I've never had dessert wine served in the way that it was served. And by that, I mean, like, dessert wine is actually shown. And I was like, this is strange. And it seems to be very expensive. I know that we're probably not going to pay for this, but I don't want to drink this wrong. And I don't want to do this the wrong way. Our dessert wines, I did not know they could be that, I guess, extravagant.
Any wine can be extravagant.
I just did not know.
Any varietal,
You mean price rise? Price wise?
Even if I've seen bottles pulled out at clubs, this is the way they presented this dessert wine.
Yeah, you've seen the bottles that it's just it's not the value of the product when you see them, it's the markup of the club.
Agreed.
So when you see the bottle of Grey Goose that they're charging $1,000 for,
Yes.
You're seeing an actual product that is a very, a very exclusive dessert wine. So you're at a pretty decent restaurant, high-end restaurant.
Oh, yes. I don't even want to know what things cost.
Was it weird not ordering chicken fingers?
You know me
so
well.
So what happened? why were you a rude?
So, because Shannon, because I was with my wife.
Right.
And,
my wife.
And Shannon's like, she at first says, no, I'm okay to the dessert wine. And I'm like, no. So I give her like the look. I was like, we need to
take such a monster.
We need to take this wine because we're never going to experience this again.
Well, they're not giving you a bottle. You're just going to pour you a little glass of wine.
I'm fine. None for me. Okay. I don't want any. It's just a dessert wine.
Can I just say,
yes,
before you get to the end of the story, as a rube, you are being a rube. A dessert wine is pretty self-explanatory.
Yes, exactly.
It's a wine you have with dessert.
I understand, but it's a smaller glass.
It's a tiny little glass.
I've never played that game before.
Technically, it would be called an aperitif.
No, that's a different product. That's a different deal.
Is it the aperitif that's after dinner? Or that's the appetizer one?
An aperitif would be like a creme de menthe.
Okay.
Or a Grand Marnier or something that.
Well,
somebody's going to yell at me now and say that's not an aperitif, but it's an after dinner drink. You're having a glass of wine that's sweet that really usually will be served in conjunction with a dessert product.
Okay.
Incredible
mallet
heads.
I don't know that.
I don't know that.
I've just heard these are dessert wines, and I've also heard the same thing about Grand Marnier. Like you drink it after you eat.
It's an after dinner drink.
Okay.
Yeah, usually.
Or if you're like Mike, during the meal.
Yeah. Or on the patio with friends, have 12 of them and then be driven home.
That's right. And Mike, with its delightful orange flavor, it says good morning.
Yes. Oh, God. Talk about acid. Stay in your stomach for 12 days.
It's like a coating.
I find it a little rich.
It's a coating.
Oh, God, I'm still getting nauseous thinking about it. All right, so what happened?
The rude moment is when they come and ask you, after we have our little glass, if you would like some more.
Right.
And I don't know what that move is, right?
Huh?
That move is to say no.
Oh, yes, I agree. But at that point, you're like, well, this will never happen again. And the gentleman's girl.
Can you get me? You didn't ask. Please, baby Jesus, tell me you did not ask for a bigger glass.
That's like in the Blues Brothers, Mike, when Howard says, wrong glass, sir.
Fill me up. Fill me up.
Yeah, he holds the water glass up for champagne.
I said,
did any of the other people at the table have another
no
one?
No one except for the gentleman's girlfriend who was hosting us.
Okay.
She said, yes, please. And she was closer to Shannon's age.
Oh, okay.
And
so she's having a good time. Maybe she didn't care. Get whatever she wants.
Right, an hour away from riding out of the car. Yeah.
Marlena. She could order a joint if she wanted. She's going home. She doesn't have to work. She's not going to sing for her supper.
We'll have the dessert wine and the blue bong.
So she looks at Chan. She's like, will you have one? To my wife, who's the closest of age at the table to her. And she said, sure. And then my wife looks at me like I'm the closest to age to them.
Right.
She goes, only if he'll have one. And so this is like this like roundabout awkward.
This is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
This is the hostess is offering you.
Yes.
Now you know what you're saying to her? You're fun. You're young.
Yes.
You're fun.
Yes. Yeah.
So what about the billionaire?
So we have like three more rounds. No, he's talking to some.
You have three more rounds of dessert.
That's
wine.
What it ends up happening because the
fun,
which is fun, but I don't know if the rest of the table like that. They didn't
really.
But you're totally okay. You're totally okay because the hostess technically
we are entertaining
initiated
her.
It. Yeah. If you had said another, please.
Yes.
Not okay. Right.
How much? What do you figure? What do you figure a glass? Like 15, 20 bucks a glass?
I know a dinner for two there is roughly $600.
Jesus Christ almighty.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But but they do bring you bread.
I don't pay that. These are not my dollars.
Wow.
I just had to Google it because I said, what does it cost to come here?
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, it's close to my house. So
we just
never go there. And I remember the gentleman's like, you must come here often. I said, no, we've never been here before.
When did Jimmy's get so out of line? That's ridiculous.
Thank you for
$600.
That. That was haunting me for some time. I'm like, I don't know what happened there.
That's the hostess as well. Yeah, okay. Drink it. Pour away. Daddy's paying for it.
If you go to Jimmy's, try his dessert wine, which is Chardonnay with a scoop of vanilla.
Right. By the way, when I'm somewhere and someone is offering and they're paying.
Yeah.
You know, I lie back on the chairs. I put two chairs together, open my mouth up, and I say, pour away!
We'll
take a break and come back with news you may not need. Oh, Rob, have the disc jockey from New York have that standing by for the kicker.
You got it. I can't do it.
We'll take a break. Come back with more on the Mike O'Meara Show. In these divisive times, it's hard to find common ground. It's difficult to concur, which is why there is such value to calm, collected political discourse. This is why we need political persuasions. Mike O'Meara.
You don't f***ing understand that we're in a world of shit right now.
Chris Freitz.
Yeah, I'm not going to let it happen. Line of quiz it.
Cool, considerate men.
You want to yell? I'll f***ing yell, asshole. Yell. Because let's the f***ing yell.
And never clouding their judgment with the fog of emotion.
You know why you can't?
Because there's
did.
Nobody.
Why
there's
don't you f***ing let me talk?
O'Meara.
You
might pretend that you're objective, but you're not really objective.
Freitz. I let you run on and blah, blah, blah. And I don't interrupt your red face rants. And then I try to say three words and
talking the issues of today.
Are you going to let me finish a sentence today?
Find it on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Political persuasions, quietly changing the world.
Get a bet,
my favorite. That's why that promo stays on the air. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by Brewmate.
Yes.
Do you, you don't love warm alcohol. Who does?
No.
It's hard. You want a cold beer. You want a beer cold. It's the numero uno quality. Next to the quality of the beer itself, the temperature is the everything. Nobody likes that. Brewmate products keep your beer or wine or anything at the perfect temperature, and they do it all day long without ice. I got the Hopsilator Trio. I love it. It fits both 16 and 12-ounce cans with its freezable adapter.
Oh, cool.
My God, it's amazing. Or it can convert to a 16-ounce pint glass with splash-proof lid. Brewmate is the bomb. Guaranteed to keep your favorite beer at the perfect temperature for, down to the last drop. And by the way, with summer right around the corner, the hot days coming, makes a perfect gift for the beer lover in your life. Over 30 colors and finishes to choose from. You can get like wood grain and get pink. Doesn't matter.
Love
30,
it.
30, really, it's 30 colors to choose from. Plus, Brewmate products work with hot and cold beverages. Start the day with a steaming latte like Oscar Santana and end the day with a cold Bex like Rob Spiewak.
Yes, thank you.
In the same perfect vessel. Don't you dare settle for warm alcohol. Chill out with your favorite drinks all day long with Brewmate. Visit brewmate.com/Mike. That's a new code. Right. Please remember that. Brewmate.com/Mike. Somebody got hinky with a code. So it's brewmate.com/Mike. Get 15% off your first order. 15% off your first order when you go to brewmate.com/Mike and remember that code. All right? Did you hear me? Did they teach you that in school?
News,
Brad.
Shut up, Oceano. BuzzFeed put together a list of 33 shocking and unexpected celebrity facts you never knew before.
Oh, cool.
And they hijacked my news you may not need, because I got a lot of them. Some of them you definitely knew before. Some are neither shocking nor unexpected, but here are the highlights. Number one, Megan Mullally had a part in Finding Nemo, but they fired her because she refused to do her Will and Grace voice.
Oh.
Really?
I love that fact. Wow. As soon as I read that, I went, okay, a list I can get on board with. Number two, Betty White is older than sliced bread.
Literally.
Literally.
What's the yeast comparison?
She oh, gross. That's terrible.
Tony, why do you write those jokes?
She was born on January 7th. Shut up, both of you. I'm doing my news you may not need. No interruptions allowed. She was born on January 17th, 1922. The first time a pre-sliced loaf of bread was sold was in 1928.
Wow.
She's older than sliced bread. Number three, Shirley Temple was such a talented child actor that people were convinced she was actually a dwarf. So the Vatican sent someone to investigate.
Of
the
course.
The Vatican?
This list is the bomb. I'm sorry. They churn out. Some of these places churn out so many lists. But this number four, Rob probably knows this. Elvis was a natural blonde.
A dirty blonde, actually, yeah. But yeah.
Okay.
Well, he was like Marilyn Monroe.
He was a blonde?
Yeah.
He was blonde.
Why are every iteration, it's all jet black hair?
He dyed his hair black because he thought it would photograph better, and he liked Tony Curtis.
So weird.
Number five, Christopher Walken used to be a lion tamer.
I wonder how that would sound.
lift up. Get on your rear legs. I'm gonna stop you with this chair. If you can't listen to me, I'm not going to give you red meat. Martin Luther King Jr., Barbara Walters, and Anne Frank were all born in the same year.
Wow.
Tell me the year. There's a quiz there. What year?
So let's
Martin
say
Luther King, Barbara
86.
Walters, Anne Frank.
1980. I second is nothing.
1929, you mallet.
29.
Number seven, Rock Hudson had affairs with both Elizabeth Taylor and James Dean while filming the movie Giant, allegedly. Now, I hate it when they put allegedly in there, but that's what they said. He had affairs with both.
I didn't know that Elizabeth Taylor was straight.
Number eight, Mark Wahlberg has three nipples. I think we've heard that.
We knew that, yeah.
Lucky duck.
And Harry Styles has four nipples, always in the news. Number nine, Jason Statham was a professional diver before he became an actor. Like a deep sea diver or a, I guess,
I'm sure
right?
He wasn't slaying girls when he was a diver either.
Oh, that's for sure.
His whole life.
Robin Williams' daughter Zelda is named after the video game The Legend of Zelda. He was a huge fan. Didn't know that.
Oh.
Humphrey Bogart was 2 inches shorter than Ingrid Bergman, so he wore platform shoes and stood on boxes to appear taller in Casablanca.
That's true, but the thing is that Ingrid Bergman was 7'3".
Okay. singer Eartha Kitt had a threesome with Paul Newman and James Dean. James Dean, again, allegedly. I don't like allegedly.
The Fast Life.
Yeah, but I'd watch that.
By the way, if you want to know who Eartha Kitt was, she was the black Catwoman on the Batman TV show in the 60s.
Sing Santa Baby.
Santa Baby. Eartha Kitt.
In the early 70s, Angela Lansbury moved her family from Hollywood to Ireland because her daughter was getting mixed up with the Manson family.
Ooh.
Also, her son was hooked on heroin.
Talk about murder, she wrote.
Thank you.
Rob.
Rob Spiewak just made a Manson joke.
Too soon.
It might be you. We have to say too soon, but it probably.
It's timely. There's a movie coming out about that entire process.
Yeah.
What, the process of murder?
Getting like some random people to get together and then murder.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, well, I didn't know it was a process.
Two more. B. Arthur was one of the first members of the Women's Reserve in the Marine Corps in the 1940s.
I have there a joke that I'm going to withhold.
And the one that I am the most fascinated with, because I've heard it, it's been out there, Tom Cruise's front right tooth is in the center of his mouth.
Love
we looked
it.
At that
oh, yeah,
the
we,
other day.
It. On the bonus show it's, we had
and
that.
Now I can't I've watch shown, a Tom Cruise
I've,
movie.
I've actually taken the pictures and demonstrated to people. I said, what's wrong with this picture?
Yep.
And none of pretty them amazing. Can see it right away. None of right. them can.
This is Thursday is list day because they've got the list of the most valuable baseball franchises. San Francisco Giants, $3 billion. Chicago Cubs, $3.1 billion. Red Sox are $3.2 billion. Los Angeles Dodgers, $3.3 billion. And the Yankees are the numero uno. They are valued at $4.6 billion. So if you want to buy them, you're going to probably have to get an extra loan just in case you're
wondering. Get one of those reverse mortgages.
Winning!
Book of Lists continues.
I love it.
Think you're cleaner or dirtier than the average person? Now you can find out. 500,000 people recently took an online poll on hygiene and cleanliness. How often do you change your seats? 50% of us usually go more than a month, including 6% who say they pretty much never change them. How often do you clean your sheets, gentlemen?
I'd say every 2 weeks.
My wife does it at least, I would say, every month. Mm.
We're twice a month in the O'Mara household. Yeah.
That's yeah. right. Twice I think that's month. About right.
She's got upper game.
How often do you brush your teeth? Only 48% said they always brush twice a day. I do not. I brush once a day. Another 38% said once or twice, depending on the situation. Are you a two-timer or a one-timer?
I sometimes go four because we deal with clients all the time, and I feel like the last thing you want to do is talk to a client, and you've got the with halitosis. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I brush in the morning, but I only brush my middle tooth.
Thank you very much. Let's see.
Thank you, Oscar.
What is an acceptable amount of time to leave dishes in the sink? 55% said one day, 23% said a few days, 3% said longer, 19% said do them immediately.
Where Julia Spiewak said, wait till I go to college.
That's a dishes in the sink for a long time.
If I see him for more than a day, it drives me nuts.
Yeah, I agree.
I left them for more than a day, but it sucks. How often do you clean your bathroom? 71% said at least once a month. 22% said a few times a year. 7% said never. Once again, it's every couple of weeks.
Every couple of weeks. Right,
yeah, 10 to 14 days.
Yeah.
How often do you shower? 57% said once a day. 7% said twice a day. 35% don't shower every day. And 1% said they don't even shower every week. Where are you guys?
I go once a day.
I'd say
on average.
I'd say six times a week. I'd say there's a day that I'll skip a day once in a while.
I'd probably be, I think maybe once a week too. I'd probably that I don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when you see me with a hat, and you've seen me with a hat a couple of times, I just couldn't make it on time.
Well, you're blessed that you have a solitary studio.
Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know.
We don't know what's going on the rest of the time, you know?
Yeah.
The backdrop is wrinkling.
Sometimes it's just too much. Number six, do you ever wear a shirt twice without washing it? The answer for me is no. 87% said yes. 27% would also wear underwear a second time. That I'll do it on the weekend. Sometimes I'll wear the same underwear 2 days.
The underwear, no, but the shirts, yes. It depends on what you do in the shirt.
Yeah,
If I'm out in the evening wearing a dress shirt and I go out for a half an hour or something like that, I'll put it back on a hanger.
Yeah, a laundered shirt, absolutely. I try to get two wears out of a laundered shirt.
If you sweat in it, like if I walk home from here home like I have, and I just realized this, Shannon's like, what are you doing? Like, we have to get this shirt cleaned already. She's just mad at me for some reason, just being human. I said, when I just walk home, you sweat, and then you can't wear it again. That's all it is.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There it is. So that's the list, but this is not a list because this is a little something something.
Okay.
The parent company of Snickers, M&Ms, and a bunch of other candies doing their world's sweetest internship thing again this summer. It's a 3-month paid position in Chicago, and if you like chocolate, it might be the best job ever. Responsibilities include traveling around to different manufacturing plants and taste testing new candy that hasn't been released yet. Ooh. Plus, you get a year's worth of free candy as a bonus. You have to be 21 to apply and have at least a high school diploma or your GED. You can upload your resume and apply online. Just search for World's Sweetest Internship. All about candy.
But may I ask a follow-up question? Fire away, Rob. You mentioned a lot of chocolate candies, and they tend to be rectangular. That's true, and they tend to be chocolatey. Not my first choice. Can you sample a circular candy? What type of circular candy did you have in mind? Maybe one that comes in a roll. I've got one right here. What's it called? A lifesaver. What kind of lifesaver? In wintergreen. Hippo mint.
And traditional five flavor.
In the morning.
The All Americans presents Scott Shannon with more hit music. WMAK.
For those, okay. For those who serve, thank you very much,
Scott Shannon.
Very good. He said that once. For those who serve. Still on, right? Still on up in New York?
WCBS-FM.
Wow. That's every a career, baby.
Morning.
Better than I did. Anyway, we will take a
I wouldn't say that
comeback
told,
with
no.
The Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. No, I'm funny.
Let's get to know our friend at KCJJ, Jim Hunter. Jim is the morning news guy and wacky sidekick.
Absolutely no need for that. No need for that. KCJJ, we'll do some new
promos.
Yeah, yes, new promos for KCJJ. That's a little old. That's on us.
You know what's it on is. Us?
That's on Rob Spiewak and Mike O'Mara right there, playing that one for 7 months.
And that doesn't diminish Jim Hunter.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Third Love. Take it from me. Buying a bra can be awkward.
It can.
Seriously, though, ask any woman. Getting the right size bra seems damn near impossible until now. Thanks to Third Love and their Fit Finder quiz. Just answer a few simple questions, and you'll find your perfect fit in 60 seconds. Third Love bras focused on breast size and shape, so you get a perfect fit and a premium feel. It will be the most comfortable bra you'll ever wear, thanks to the lightweight, super thin memory foam cups.
Yes.
Only Third Love has them. Try it on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. There is a 100% fit guarantee. If after 60 days you don't love it, return it. Third Love will wash it, donate it to a woman in need. Third Love has a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they're offering our listeners 15% off their first order. Go to thirdlove.com/TMOS right now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/TMOS for 15% off today. Let's open up the audio vault for today, Thursday, April 11th, 2019. Getting close to tax time where other day, my man Andrew, please call me. Love those calls. Love them more than anything in the world. Love them, love them, love them, love them, love them, love them. Mike, can you call me when you get off the show? Love, 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 love. Hi. What's happening? I'm ready. Lay that crap news on me. Thank you very much.
He's just making small talk.
God, I have no contact with him all year long and then 400 calls a day.
How about this, though?
Yeah.
Hats off to Oscar Santana.
Yes.
Because I forgot my readers, and so he was able to produce for me a lovely set of floral women's readers so I can do the audio.
Well, I'll
today.
Tell you, tomorrow on the show, based on the camera shot that I've gotten all day today, you're going to get your readers, and then someone's going to spray paint your entire forehead brown.
Oh, we're going to need a lot of paint.
Jesus Christ, you are reflecting more light off your massive dome the size of a drive-in movie theater in that studio.
And actually, the damnedest
head
thing
is so large that it reflects all the light on our studio cameras, and it's like, you would be, you know, they'd paint you if you were in a regular TV set.
I was
bring
told,
a cap in. Bring your HBO show cap.
Do you remember? Yeah. Oh yeah, when I did that project with HBO and Judd Apatow, they told me I have lovely skin tone there. I don't know. I think it might be the camera, not me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I grew.
Why
my,
did they give you a hat? Because they give you a. They said
it was
you
the characterization. It was the characterization of the disc jockey.
But the lovely skin tone comment was made not when you were showing your chrome dome. It was when you were. That's probably why they said that.
No, the hat was done by costuming, makeup. Love my skin tone, and they never saw the hat.
Well, they probably say that to everyone.
Yeah, of course.
No, they didn't.
Comfortable.
They said they looked at Judd Apatow and went, "Yuck."
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and by the way, that would be great.
And I've grown. My hair is actually longer than normal, so I should be actually throwing off less light.
No, not. Well,
it's probably that other. It's probably that guy in the chair next to you that was getting the the makeup for his show.
Oh, him?
Yeah. What a lovely skin tone you have, Mr. Spiewak. We're almost ready for you, Mr. James. Almost.
Eddie. Right.
That's a pockmarked joke.
Okay. Right. Mike Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah. We were talking about him yesterday on the patio.
He did a fascinating little video for the Masters, and it's on the Masters Facebook page.
Oh, really?
Which is really neat. I think they don't do it much on the actual days of competition, but on practice rounds at Augusta, and the Masters are this weekend, on hole 16, it's a water hole. And to
they
show
skip
off,
it across the lake.
Like you skip a stone, they will skip the ball. He talks about the science of skipping your shot. It's pretty neat.
He's a dick.
16. The whole thing.
All right, then let's move on.
No, I'm sorry. No, I want to hear it. But
okay. it's just,
you know what? Can I just say this about him?
Yeah.
Bryson DeChambeau.
DeChambeau.
Little blue blood. I'm sorry. That it's just, you know, I don't like when people make things more complicated than they need to be. But let's listen. And I'll you know what? I'll make my final
decision. You've been there. You know it.
Based on that introductory sentence, I pretty much know how you're going to like this.
Okay, here we go.
Bryson.
Okay, go ahead, Alton.
16. The hole they call Red Bud.
Red Bud.
So much Masters history has happened at this beautiful and exciting par 3, where job one is to avoid the water. Unless you're so skilled, you can just playfully tease it, as so many do in practice rounds. Of course, you could only go there on purpose if you knew the secret. Bryson DeChambeau does.
I'll hit a 5-iron and try and create about 5,000 RPMs of spin and have an angle of descent at probably about 30 degrees into the water, and that'll probably, you know, 30-degree angle, right? It'll just skip probably perfectly and bounce and go across.
You really should watch the video, though, because they have some amazing low shots.
Pretty impressive.
It is.
If you're, if you're not a golf guy, like I just look at that ball.
It's impressive to watch. It's done. It's been done many years before Bryson was even a spermatoa.
Oh,
so I mean, Bryson talking about the science
RPMs.
That's been done. By the way, it used to be done by, you know, with the old technology, just out of feel.
Yeah.
Sorry. There's something about him. Look, can I tell you that I saw him up close and personal this past winter, where he came down for a tournament down here, and
is he
all
a
the guys
known
were kind
douche.
Of, it's the silly season. I don't know if he's a known douche, but he is definitely a little wrapped tight. And he was wrapped tight at this silly season tournament where everybody should be kind of light. And he was Johnny. And I didn't like
5,000 RPMs.
I'm here to win.
I'm going
to
win. Skip. Right. Get it in the hole.
Now, you know what? I probably gave him the kiss of love right now. And he's probably going to win the tournament.
Get your bets in.
Big hey, golf is my life. I get into it. Sorry about that.
Big day for photography yesterday, Mike, is they got a picture of the first black hole, the first picture they've ever gotten of a black hole.
Can I tell you what my moment was in the par 3 tournament a year ago?
Yeah.
Jack Nicklaus is up there, and his grandson is caddying for him.
His grandson is 62.
Shut up, non-sports guy. And his grandson gets up in the caddy outfit that they have. They all wear those white jumpsuits at Augusta. And he gets up and he hands him. He says, "Hey, why don't you try one?" And his grandson gets a hole in one.
Yeah,
that's what I do. Cool. I don't even 30-degree angle. Yeah, make it fun. It's a game. It's a child's game. Stop it.
Every time his grandson gets a hole in one, his voice goes up a little higher.
Okay.
Hi, it's Jack Nicklaus. Okay, so they did capture for the first time ever. People have known in theory about black holes, but they actually were able to capture a photograph of one.
Pretty cool.
And it looks like a blurry orange donut. It is 55 million light years away. Now, keep in mind what that means is the amount of space that light travels in a year.
Mm-hmm.
55 million of those. Mm. That's how far away it is. So I guess they had a zoom lens. This is a scientist talking about the picture.
Ultimately, when you ask yourself what an iconic image is, it's something that reveals to you something that you didn't know before. And it scares you a little bit. An image of a black hole captures visually a one-way exit from our universe. We think about monsters, they're under our bed, or you know, they're in caves. And when you see something like this, you realize that there are really monsters out there. The fact that we've captured this, I think, is not just for our team, but for all of humanity.
Pretty wild. Pretty wild when you think about it.
When you think that that's what a black hole does, sucks everything into it and it's gone.
You know,
so everyone has seen the picture, but we're the only show that has the audio of the black hole. And we close with this. Okay. Scary. Crazy. That's your magic audio song. Have a great Thursday.
Cementing the reputation as the dumbest show in America. That's it, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, no plugs today. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOmeraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look,
just a flesh wound.
McCoyne, don't be jealous that I've been chatting online with babes all day. Besides, we both know I'm training to become a cage fighter.
I wouldn't trust you to lick a postage stamp.
Goodbye, duty.